You will please mark your Bibles in the book of Job, and in just a moment we will read the first 12 verses of the book of Job. And I think if you will follow this message, we'll read the first 12 verses, but over a period of time, I'll show you a little bit about how it's put together so we can get to the heart of this message. And what we're talking about in this sermon is learning to walk with God. That's what we've been discussing all week. And tonight, learning to walk with God through trials. And this message is designed to show how God can shape us and protect us through trials all at the same time. And I want you to think about what I just said. He can actually shape us through trials. And he can protect us while we're going through the trials. This is what we've done so far. We've talked about who God is and what he's doing. I've tried to encourage you to think about no unfairness in God, mercy. Don't say, why has God done this to me? Say, I'm a part of God's glory plan. And if you say, well, what do we do of all of this? We learn to trust him. Because faith is such a big issue. And then last night, what is God doing with me? And we studied that to try to understand that God is really making me better. He's keeping us restrained from wrong attitudes and behaviors, and actually guiding us into deeper faith. Yes. Deeper faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then that brings us to this final lesson, learning to walk with God through trials. All right. That's what we're going to do tonight. I want to express my gratitude to all of you for your presence, and a special thanks to the leaders of this church for inviting me to share with you in this series of meetings. And thanks to all of you who have fed us or done something good for us. I don't want you to think we take that for granted, because we don't. The Collins, the Banks, the Reeds, the Cooks, the Reeds again, the Banks again. And we've known the Sills for a long time. And so when we come, we expect to see them sitting around. Y'all have all been very good to us. I'm very thankful for the Gretna Church, especially the Franklin Street Church of Christ. Y'all have been very good, and I'm thankful. Let's study together now as we begin to think about walking with God through trials. Can someone share, not out loud, but share a trial that made you wonder, what is God doing? Just think about it. All right. Some kind of trial in life. And let me just say, while you're thinking, that none of God's people are exempt from trial. Yes. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. That's right. But even the just are not exempt from trouble in this life. Yes, sir. I've had my share of trouble. Come on. I say that, and then sometimes I wonder what my share is. And am I through with trouble? I doubt it. I started preaching as a boy, young boy, and I started that with a false notion that some of you may have started with. Something a little bit like, if you just do the will of God, everything will be all right. That's still kind of true. But it doesn't mean you're exempt from trial. Still, I started preaching like that. I even preached sermons for church because I started so young. I preached sermons for churches and preached funerals before I understood grief. I didn't really understand. I thought I understood. And then my 13-year-old sister was killed suddenly in an automobile accident. And it changed my understanding of grief.
Yes.
I thought I was doing pretty good in recovering from that. And then my father died at a very young age. And listen to what my mother said. She said, there's a lot of difference in burying a child and burying a spouse.
Yes.
That's made me very careful, because there was such a gap between what I thought I understood about grief and what I experienced, that when she says there's a big difference in losing a spouse and losing a child, I've lost neither.
All right.
Makes me think that walking with God means we start walking with Him pretty humbly.
All right.
Now let me tell you a Bible story. You've kind of thought through your story. I shared a little bit of a story. And then this Bible story that causes us to think about walking with God through trials. I'm reading in Job 1, verse number 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job.
Yes.
And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters.
Yes.
His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses,
yes,
and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East.
All right.
And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day.
Yes.
And sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them.
Yes,
and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all.
Yes.
For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them.
Yes.
And the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou?
Yeah, yeah.
Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Have you considered my servant Job?
All right.
That there's none like him in the earth,
yes.
A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Uh-huh. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him,
uh-huh,
and about his house and about all that he has on every side?
Yes.
Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land.
All right.
But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face.
All right.
And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And I just want you to think about that. The story of Job, at least parts of it, are fairly well known. I call what we just read a part of the prologue that I don't think Job ever really knew. But he's the richest, most righteous man in all the East.
Yes.
And he's a spiritual man. He gets up after his children have feasted.
Yes.
And he offers sacrifices to God, talking about perhaps my children have sinned. And he does that all the time. He's a righteous man. That's where the story starts.
Yes.
And then God calls a meeting and raises a question for the devil. Have you considered my servant Job?
Right.
Have you ever thought, maybe in the midst of trial, that there might have been a meeting and the Lord asked Satan, have you considered my servant and called your name?
All right.
Have you thought about him? Satan says, Job's just serving you because you bless him so.
Yes.
You've built a hedge around him. You won't let anybody touch him.
Uh-huh.
You've blessed, anybody will serve you if you give them those kinds of blessings and you don't let anybody touch them and you're just good to them like that. That's why Job is serving you. Now here's the theme of the book of Job. And this is why I'm closing with this particular sermon. A big question in the book of Job is there a man, woman, whose faith means more to them than anything else in the world?
All right.
You can take anything I own. You can take my house, my car, my boat. You can take anything in this world. Leave me my faith in God.
Come on,
and I'll make it. A man whose faith means more than anything else. In successive blows, Job lost everything he had. I mean, one servant will come and say, the animals were grazing and the enemy got this herd and that herd and the other herd. Finally, somebody comes to say, and Job, your children were feasting at your oldest son's house. A windstorm came and killed all of them. And Job buried 10 children in one day.
All right.
Can you imagine 10 funerals? I've done 3 funerals in a day.
All right.
2 of the people from the same family. God's people are not exempt. So how do we walk on through with faith.
Yes.
This is how Job ends the first round. Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. That's round one of the prologue. And by the time you finish round one, if we were Job, we would be kind of, what is God doing to me? What just happened? I mean, I was the richest, wealthiest man in all the East. I had one of the best farms around, and overnight everything's gone, including my children, and all I know to do is go worship. What a man of faith. But it doesn't stay like that. Round two. God calls that meeting, and he raises another question. What about my servant Job? He passed that first test, you know. And Satan strengthened it. Job is just serving you because you won't let anybody touch him. Now I'm telling you, he's got good faith, but his faith doesn't mean more than his life. Everything a man owns, he'll give for his life. Job's just serving you because you won't let anybody touch him. Let somebody touch him and Job will curse you to your face. God said, "I'm not so sure about that."
All
right. You can touch him.
Come on now.
But you cannot kill him.
Yes.
Are you figuring out God's limitations on Satan and what he will allow Satan to do? Satan can go so far, but God controls all of that.
You can
take everything he owns,
yes, sir.
Leave Job alone.
Yeah.
You can touch Job, but you cannot kill Job. And that's when Job is stricken with boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, and he's sitting on an ash heap, scraping his sores, talking about what in the world is God doing?
All right.
What is he doing? Why is this happening to me? Now let me give you another, the speeches. Job had three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar.
Right.
And his friends came to see him. And there are rounds of speeches in the book from Job's friends and Job. It goes like this, these rounds. Prologue, two rounds, then these speeches.
Right.
Job will speak and Eliphaz will answer. Job will speak and Bildad will answer. Job will speak and Zophar will answer. And you've got those rounds of speeches. There are three rounds of speeches in the book. No Zophar speech in the last round.
All right.
But these friends come to explain what in the world is happening to Job.
Yes.
I remember when my youngest sister was killed in an automobile accident, a preacher came to the house and he said, "Y'all know what this means, don't you?
Come on now.
It means somebody just needs to get closer to God." My parents taught us to respect older people, so I didn't say anything, but I'll tell you what I was thinking. I was thinking, "I'm not sure you know what this means."
Come on now.
Because there are going to always be human views and human opinions and
right.
Job's friends come to speak and they say, "Job, What's really going on is you've committed some kind of secret sin, and what you really need to do is fess up, come straight. God will forgive you. Job saying, I'm not claiming perfection, but I didn't do anything to deserve this, and I don't understand the reasoning behind it, because there are people who have certainly committed worse sins than I've committed, and they're not on the ash heap. So he's trying to reason from a human perspective, but he's missing it. I just want to tell you, though, be careful when you're reading chapters 3 through 38, 37 in there, or 32.
Right.
3 through 32, because those are all human speeches.
That's right.
And I'm telling you that anytime you go through any case of trouble, you might get a lot of opinions.
Yeah.
You know why I point that up to people? Because I've heard sermons from those sections of Job. Like those sections concern God's speeches and God thought. The problem is by the time you get to 38 and God actually speaks. God says, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge, without wisdom? In other words, God's view of Job's friends' advice is, none of you guys really know what you're talking about. Can I give you some advice? Be real careful about giving advice when you really don't know what you're talking about. Elihu listened. He thought the older men ought to know. He said, I'm a young man, and I thought the older people ought to know, but I see they don't, so I'm offering my opinion.
Right.
Finally, God speaks.
Yes.
But if you're looking for easy answers, they're not going to be much easier.
All right.
Job, where were you when the worlds were formed? And what do you know about what the world hangs on?
Right.
And have you walked in the pathway to the house of darkness? Do you know the treasures of the snow? Have you walked to the pathway, house of darkness?
Come on,
do you know? And Job, if you know, do you know because you lived so long and learned so much? Or were you just born real smart?
Yes.
By the time God gets through questioning Job, somebody's counted 38 to 40 questions. Job said, I'll put my hand over my mouth. I've spoken, but I won't speak anymore. But all the while before, he'd been saying that he wanted to talk to God. I'd like to know if he kills me, I'll trust him. I'm not going to lose my faith. My faith means a lot. I'd just like to talk to God. And then when he gets a chance, he wants to say, no, I think I'll be quiet. God said, no, you said you wanted to talk to me. Talk to me. Gird up your loins and talk to me.
Yeah.
Finally, the book closes. And when it closes, Job prays for his friends. And God restored everything he had double. Gave him the same number of children. And one of the things that's very noticeable at the end of the book is that when God started restoring everything and gave it back, Job's brothers and sisters came back bringing him gifts. Do you know that till you get all the way through that trial, you don't even know Job's got brothers and sisters?
Right.
You don't even see them. They're nowhere. And now his brothers and sisters and his friends are coming back, and God bless Job all over again. What are we learning as we kind of just think through that and talk about walking with God through a trial?
Yes.
Two of the practical points I got from another preacher, a teacher who taught me years ago, and I was impressed with them. And the last one is one that I hope you will appreciate. Here's the first one. Harold Hazlip talked about what he called a new understanding of the past.
All right.
A new understanding of the past. And this is how he explains it. New understanding of the past means everything we have is a gift. We're not accustomed to thinking about it like that. We think it's mine. It was my farm and my camels and my sheep and my children and my land and my health and my wife and my, and on we go with this stuff that we think belongs to us. And Job had to learn a pretty sobering lesson. Naked I came from my mother's womb. And naked I shall return thither. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That all of this stuff really belongs to the Lord. It's a hard lesson. It's a sobering lesson. But it's one that you need to learn if you're going to walk with God. Because when God takes something that he gave to you to use for a little while, you need not think God's done you wrong. It was God's before it was yours. We're so tempted to think this stuff belongs to... We used to have a little thing when I grew up in the country. That's mine, somebody say, die and prove it. All right, what they mean to say is if you die, you'll figure out pretty quickly that you don't own much down here, that you don't control much down here. Still, that's how we think.
Yes.
My house, my car, my clothes, my. So Jesus told a story. The fields of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he looked at what the fields produced and he said, what am I going to do with everything that I possess? I know what I am going to do. I am going to pull down my barns. I'm going to build me some greater barns. I am going to say to my soul, soul, you've got a lot of goods laid up for a long time. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry.
Yes.
What's he thinking? This is mine. This is mine. God said, thou fool.
All right.
This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all of those things be? Have you thought about it much?
All right.
Or are you still thinking it's yours? You know what I always wanted the man to say? Look at the fields. Listen carefully that God has blessed me with. What am I going to do with these blessings? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to give some back to God.
Right.
And I say, God, this is a token of my understanding that you're the source of my blessing.
Yes.
And worship to God goes first. I'm going to use some for myself, but I've got more than I need. So I'm going to use some of it to help somebody else. I think if we learn to think like that, we walk with God like that, you'll look up and the fields will produce more crops. But if you walk with God, talking about God, everything I have is mine. learn this lesson. Everything that you have is a gift from God. Be thankful that God gave you the gift for the time that he did, no matter how long, and live with a new understanding of the past. This is not mine. It belongs to him. Then a new understanding of the future. New understanding of the future is designed to help us understand that God is still in the blessing business. That the same God that blessed you the first time can bless you again. That Job questioned, he wondered, never lost his faith. And as he walked through all of that by faith, God restored everything he had plus.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Gave him the same number of children, but I think he got blessed in some other ways because his flocks and his herds got doubled. Right. Means you need more servants, more people. Have you learned how to understand the blessings of God? Sometimes God can take one person and give you three.
All right.
No, he's not going to replace your mother. He can't replace my father like that, but he can give me other people, more other people. My mother died, and I was grieving over that. And finally, the Lord blessed me with a thought. We have an apartment unit with four units. Three of those are for rent. The last one is called Mother's Hospitality House. It honors my mother and all the ladies in our church who served as my mother since her death. And we use it for people who come downtown and need a place to stay for whatever reason.
All right.
They can stay at Mother's Hospitality House. My mother's been gone, but I still have people that I add to Mother's Hospitality House. You see, he's not trying to just replace. He's trying to teach us to learn how to live by faith. Walk on through the trial with a new understanding of the future. Same God who blessed me the first time can bless me again. And then finally, tonight, it's some kind of understanding of God's love, that God cared enough to answer.
All right.
I hope you can get this one. It's a little bit more difficult, but it's good if you can bask in it for a minute. God's a little too big for us. Job, where were you when the worlds were formed? Job, do you know where a cow calved on a mountainside last night?
All right.
Can you see what I'm talking? He's too big for us. You don't know where the cow calved on a mountainside last night. And God's response to Job is, Job, I'm answering you because I care. But I really can't explain to you everything that I'm doing with any case of trouble. Not because I can't explain it. I'm God. I can do whatever I want to do. Listen carefully. I don't even have to try to explain it. Because I'm God.
Yeah.
But you know what's good about it? That same God is the God who does answer. He cares enough to answer. Here's the problem. His mind is too big. So when you say, God, what are you doing? He could look back to you and say, I can't explain to you what I'm doing.
All right.
Because you don't know how, Job. You don't know how to take death in New Orleans and affect somebody in New York. You don't know how to do that. And I do know how to do that. And if you had one day at the helm, you'd figure out that you don't know how to run this world. Just one day. So what do we do when we don't know what to do? When we're crying out to a God who cares enough to answer us, but he can't answer us, not because his vocabulary, it's my understanding that's too small. Let me tell you where it leaves us. It leaves us trusting him. That I'm just left trusting him.
Yes.
That's all I can do.
Amen.
Is trust him.
Amen.
I couldn't tell you how many times I've looked up and said, well, Barry Red, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I say, have you tried trusting him? Oh, Brother Red, I trust him, but what am I going to do? Yeah, what are you going to do? Listen carefully, and I'll be through here in just a minute. I wouldn't try to live life without my faith in God. I've often wondered how people do it and how you attempt it. With no faith in God Almighty. I'm going to close this by telling you, you're going to need him. I don't care who you are, where you're from, how much money you got in the bank, what you own around the corner. I don't care about any of that. You're going to need the God of heaven. Everybody needs him. And I would just advise that you not even leave this building tonight without trying to begin a relationship with him or strengthen your relationship with him. All the week we've been talking about walking with God and change and deeper understanding of who he is.
All right.
Leave tonight with a new understanding of the past. This is not yours. A new understanding of the future. He can bless you again.
Yes.
An understanding of the depth of his care. You want proof? The cross of Jesus Christ our Lord. The greatest proof that Jesus loves me. He loves you too. And he's calling you.
All right.
If you're here, not a Christian, but you believe in Jesus, you're willing to repent of your sins, to make a confession with your mouth, you can be buried with Christ in baptism, resurrected to walk a new life in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And if you'll walk in that new life until you die or until Jesus comes, you can go to heaven when you die. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yes.
And then when you get up from the watery grave of baptism, I hope if you can understand this, you will. Get up from the watery grave of baptism and don't look back.
All
just
right.
Keep on walking with God all the days of your life. It'll be a blessing for you. If you're subject to the invitation for whatever reason, now's the time to respond as we stand together to sing our song.
Oh, do not let the world divide. And Close thine eyes against the light, poor sinner. Harden not your heart.
Be stable tonight.
Oh, why not tonight? Why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Thou be saved. Then why not? Why not tonight?
Tomorrow's sun may never rise.
To bless thy long deluded sight. Save, obey the word to love. Be saved,
oh, tonight.
Oh, why not tonight?
Why not tonight?
Why not tonight? Why not tonight? Be saved, then why not tonight?
Let me tell you again, thanks for allowing us to be here. But I want to tell you another something about why I'm here.
All right.
I want you saved. I want everybody in this room saved.
Yes.
And I want you to grow to the point that you want everybody in this room saved. So you can say, I want to be saved, and I want everybody in here saved. And then work toward that. Work toward walking with God. Walk closer to God and keep growing no matter what. And that way, if we don't meet again this side of heaven, we'll meet again. I want to meet you again this side of heaven. But if we don't, you come on and you kind of say, well, Brother Ed went on to glory, because that's where I'm planning to go. And that's where I want you to go to. May God bless every single one of you. Thank you for life.
Doing like Jonathan and David, getting knit together.
One of us got it.
Appreciate y'all being here tonight. I have one announcement before I get started. And this is directed to one of the ladies. Somebody bought me an earring.
All right.
And I'm saying this directed to the ladies, but you know men wear earrings too, right? So wherever this earring belongs, it's a silver earring with the piercings in it. It's not a clip-on. You can see me after services and you can get your earring back, because I don't have no piercings. I don't have any. I want to thank those of you for coming here tonight, the congregations that came out to support us all week long. And one of the things that you can take away with you, one of the things that you can certainly own, and nobody can take it away from you tonight, is this blessing that we've received from this brother by giving us God's word. You can definitely own that.
Yes.
And not only own it, let other people know that it belongs to you, and live in such a way that they know God as a result of that.
Yes.
All right. I have also to tell you that after the services tonight, I give the women a few minutes. I think there's some little food back there that you might be able to, if nobody had, you know, there's some refreshments back there that we can get a hold to and enjoy as we sit and talk and get to know each other better than we did on yesterday.
Yes.
Now, do we have anybody from the congregation of DeGaulle here tonight? No, DeGaulle, I'll go down this list. If I miss anybody, let me know now. Chalmette. All right, we got Chalmette in the house tonight, too. Thank you so much for being here. Elysian Fields.
Yes, sir.
All right. Is there anything that y'all need to announce to the congregations while you're here from Elysian Fields? Any announcements that you might have? He says, not at this time. That's his announcement. Elysian Fields. We good. That's the elder right there. Crowder? Somebody from Crowder? How about Johnny Jackson? I like saying Johnny Jackson. I like that. Yeah, Louisa. But see, there's a backstory to Johnny Jackson I got to tell you, all right? Never mind. Anything from Johnny Jackson?
No announcement, just a reminder that this Sunday through Wednesday, General DeGaulle will be hosting their gospel meeting.
Exactly. Yep. Starting Sunday, Brother Greg Desmukes will be at General DeGaulle Church of Christ, starting Sunday for their gospel meeting. Appreciate that, Brother Hull. Any other congregation that I don't have written here? No, we good? We good? I want to ask whoever's doing the closing prayer to put this card up here to pray for our brother Jonathan Hicks. He's asking for prayers as he goes through some struggles in his life, as all of us are going to go through struggles. So let's not only continue to pray for one another, but especially let's pray for Jonathan Hicks. Every last one of us, if we can call his name in prayer, please do that. And also pray for each congregation that represents the Lord in this area, in this community. Why? Because more than anything else, there's people out there whose souls need to be saved.
Yes.
And those people need to be among us as we track our way to heaven.
Man.
Let's see if we can get them in here. One more thing we got before we close out. Okay, go ahead and ask for prayers, Estella. What you got?
I spoke with Brother Green this morning.
Mm-hmm.
He was put in the hospital because of one problem, but came up with the heart problem. Okay. Heart is not beating at a
normal pace.
Normal, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it's below 40 and 43 and all of that. So he asked if we do anything for him, keep him in prayer.
Yeah.
And just within the last 5 months that he has been speaking, bringing the sermons at Crowder, 18 souls have been baptized.
Thank God for that. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And just recently, one was baptized. So he was discharged yesterday afternoon, but he need our prayers.
Okay, so let's pray for, let's add Brother Green to that prayer tonight as well. We got the women presenting.
The church water present.
We got Brother Red, my sister Joyce, come up here for a second. Who's going to do the talking?
I don't need a mic.
Yes, you do.
Brother and Sister Red, on behalf of our Franklin Ladies Ministry, we would just like to present you with what we call a taste of New Orleans. So we know you've enjoyed the food while you're here, and this is a little something to take with you.
We're going to thank all of you for everything you've done for us. You've been extremely good to us for these 3 days. And,
yeah, you don't want to get at the Brother Vaughn, bro. You don't want to do that.
I'd rather than get somebody else on that. Thanks to all of you for everything. You've been very good to us.
Right, now we'll now have our closing song and our closing prayer. Appreciate y'all. Thanks for being here. May God bless you and keep you through this whole entire week.
Please be standing. And before I announce the closing song, I'm just going to take just a minute, Brother Banks, to say my daughter, or our daughter, Lisa Brown, is here. We're very, very proud of her, and we love her. And that's one of those blessings from God that Brother Red was talking about tonight. Just a moment. Our closing selection, by the way, Brother Malachi or Malishi? Malachi from Louisa will give the closing prayer. Number 299 will be the closing song. First stanza.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Let us bow. Most gracious, kind, and loving Heavenly Father, we humbly come before your throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, for this day.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for the message today, Heavenly Father. Thank you for Brother Red and his family.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for the gospel meeting, Heavenly Father, for all this week.
Thank you,
we thank you, Lord, for the souls that came to hear his message, Heavenly Father.
Oh, yes.
But we know, Lord, that the word came from you, Heavenly Father. And we're so grateful, Heavenly Father, that you used him, Heavenly Father,
yes,
to tell us what you expect of us, Heavenly Father, to tell us a little bit more about how you think, Heavenly Father, how you operate.
Oh, yes.
And we're so, so grateful, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray that we would take those things that were taught this week, that we would apply to our lives, so that when others see us, Heavenly Father, that they will see you.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, you will forgive us for any sins that we've committed, whether it be through words, thoughts, or deeds.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, if we're living in sin, Heavenly Father, that we would have the courage to correct those things and to get back on a straight and narrow, Heavenly Father, before it's everlasting too late. Lord, we pray for those, Heavenly Father, that are our brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father, who have walked away from the gospel. We pray, Lord, that you would bring them back, Heavenly Father, before it's everlasting too late.
Yes.
We also pray, Lord, for those souls under the sound of my voice, Heavenly Father, who may not be members of the body of Christ.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, that this message will prick their hearts, Heavenly Father, that it will bother them, Heavenly Father, until they obey the gospel. Lord, we pray for Brother Hicks, for his specific request, Heavenly Father, that he has asked for, Heavenly Father. We also pray for Brother Green, Heavenly Father, for healing of his body. We also pray, Lord, for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father, who are undergoing treatments, Heavenly Father, with doctors, Heavenly Father, those that are recovering, Heavenly Father, from falls, from sickness, Heavenly Father, those that are bereaved, Lord, Heavenly Father, those that have lost houses, Heavenly Father, and things of that sort, Heavenly Father.
Please,
Lord, we pray that you will continue, Heavenly Father, to allow them to get those things back.
Yes.
But also, Lord, we pray that they will give you glory and honor,
Heavenly
Father, even though they're going through those trials. Lord, we pray for the food, Heavenly Father, that was prepared in the back, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the folks that prepared the food. And we also thank you, Heavenly Father, for this local congregation. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to be with the men that lead this congregation, Heavenly Father, and be with the congregation, Heavenly Father, as they continue to serve you.
Yes.
Lord, as we depart this place, but not from your presence, we pray that you will continue to watch over us, protect us, and keep us.
Thank you,
we ask it all. In your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.